ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is described as Satchitananda Vigraha, the body of eternity, transcendental bliss and full of knowledge. Now, in this verse, he is more fully described. Krishna is the creator of all of the entire cosmic manifestation, yet he is unattached to it. If we were to construct a very tall skyscraper, we would be very attached to it. But Krishna is so renowned that although he has created everything, he is not attached to anything. Not but today. Furthermore, although Krishna has his transcendental form, Satchitananda Vigraha, he is not disturbed by the bodily necessities of life, which are called dahika. For example, he is never hungry, thirsty, or fatigued. Nahanate dahikato pi dahi dahikaya. Then again, since everything is Krishna's property, he sees everything and is present everywhere. But because his body is transcendental, he is above vision. The objects of vision and the process of vision. When we see someone beautiful, we are attracted. The sight of a beautiful woman immediately attracts a man, and the sight of a man naturally attracts a woman. Krishna, however, is transcendental to all these faults. Although he is this seer of everything, he is not afflicted with fault, with faulty vision. Nadrik jasya gunaya vidushyate. Therefore, although he is the witness and seer, he is aloof from all affection for the activities he sees. He is always unattached and separate. He is only a witness. Very nice person. This is the quality of Sri Krishna. In a few days, we're going to have Janmashtami appearance of Lord Krishna. And so it's a very appropriate time to talk about Krishna and his wonderful quality. You know, Krishna is one of the qualities of Krishna as unlimited quality. And Prabhupada here nicely explained in the Purport that he is very detached. It's like telling a person who is the owner of everything, don't be attached. So he is not attached because he's the owner of everything. And people do, people don't have anything, they're attached to what they have. Prabhupada said that even a beggar is proud of his penny. But Krishna is the owner of everything, but they're really attached. Prabhupada very nicely explains, and we build a skyscraper building. Very fond of these tall buildings. You see today, all over the world, big cities, they all have tall buildings. And we're very proud of it. We're very proud of having a tall building. You know, we build the city, we build a skyscraper. And with these modern cities, and high tall buildings, and bridges, and parks, and all these motor cars, and computers, and airplanes, and technology. So we're very proud of these things, our modern advancement. But so we're very proud of materialistic people. But Krishna is the creator of everything. By his mercy, Krishna's mercy, by Krishna's blessings, by God's blessings, we have the power to move this body. Krishna says, I am the ability man. By Krishna's mercy, we are able to move our hand. We are able to build the cities. Because he gave us the intelligence to chalk out, to design the city. He gave us the intelligence. Why the higher the person who is very good at making design? Because he is good at it, he has good intelligence. He went to the university. Why didn't they just get anyone from the street or some dumb person? Because they wouldn't know how to do the design. So Krishna is the intelligence of all living beings. He is the ability man. By His mercy, we can do something. He says here, the sight of a beautiful woman immediately attracts a man also. So we are attracted to beauty. We are attracted to something very attractive. We are attracted to handsome man. We are attracted to ocean. We are attracted to the mountains. We are attracted to nature, beautiful things. Because we by nature also attractive. So we naturally are attracted to that is very attractive. But you have to remember that we don't become attached to it. That's the point. We don't become attached to it. So the main point of this purport, that all these things we should not be attached to it. The attraction is there in relation to Krishna. Otherwise we don't become attached to it. The attachment should be to understand that everything is Krishna's property. That way there is a connection. If we attach to something, we attach to something because we know Krishna is the most beautiful, Krishna is the most attractive, Krishna is the source of everything. That way we can relate to Krishna through this attraction to this world. But we personally should not become attached to it. So there is a cut in there. There is a trick. We say, oh, we are attracted to something because it's Krishna's. But the underlying principle is we are attracted because we like it. No, no. We have to be free from the attachment. We know that it is Krishna. So the thing is, we are attracted to the material nature because it's Krishna's creation. And Krishna is the most beautiful. And it says here, and again, since everything is Krishna's property, he sees everything and is present everywhere. But because his body is transcendental, he is above vision. The object of vision and the process of vision. So, the problem is, for us, is our eyes. We see something and then we start to contemplate on it. So it's not that we pluck the eye out. We understand that the eyes is duty. The eyes like to see things. So we can see the beautiful form of Krishna. We can see the beautiful Krishna's nature. But here, Krishna is above vision. The object of vision and the process of vision. So he is seeing everything, but at the same time he is above it. Which means he is aloof, that's what's mentioned, he is aloof from it. So he is only a witness. Just like we are all enjoying and moving around and doing things, and somebody is just observing, witnessing. They're not doing anything, just checking us out. What are we doing, our movements? Every move we make, somebody is noticing it. That's Krishna. Krishna is watching us. It's not that he's recording. Somebody is recording or writing it all down. That's his nature. But Krishna himself, he's watching his devotee enjoy. And that's his enjoyment. So we can enjoy, but we have to remember that we are enjoying because Krishna has given the power. He has given us the power to enjoy. It's His mercy. We sing the song that this body is a network of ignorance. So we can purify the senses in the body by taking prasad. So Krishna is the power house. The Krishna is the source of everything. He is the one who that purifies us. Now, Jasya Gunaya Vidushyate, he is not afflicted with faulty vision. Our vision is faulty. This is why you have to wear glasses. We can't see. He doesn't see Krishna wearing glass. God wearing glass. That would be very funny. Krishna is the source of all the vision. So point is, he is seen, but at the same time, he has the ability to attract the higher seen. Like a swan, the swan, they can take water out of the milk. They have a special filter in the tongue designed, and they can extract the water out of the milk. And they can filter it out. But similarly, we see, but we only see that is what necessary to see. So Krishna is seen, but at the same time he is above it. He is aloof from, he is detached from this. He created this world. He created this universe. At the same time, he is above it. Just like we are the cook. We cook. But we're not thinking, oh God, this looks good, I want to eat it. We're thinking, no. We are cooking, but we are detached from it. Because we know this is for Krishna's pleasure. This is for the devotee's pleasure. This is for the guest. This is for Prabhupada. So you see all the people, they are cooking. Big five-star hotel, big fancy cooks. They are cooking. They're making, they're designing chocolate and cakes. There's so many wonderful things that they can just go for and eat it all around and sleep in the food. But they are doing it as a service. They're thinking this is for the pleasure of the guests. This is for the pleasure. This is for the hotel. So we are engaged in all these activities. We are surrounded by offering, but we're not attached to it. And that's the Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything, but at the same time, he is very detached from it. He leaves all that behind, Dwarka, and he goes to Vrindavan. And he's playing with cows, cowherd boys, and very cows in the forest and in the field. He's God, he's owner. He has palaces in Dwarka. Big palace. He left all that. And he just goes and herding the cows. He wants to enjoy a simpler life. Just like we are getting the glory king. They're tired of it. They want to be ordinary people. That they can just be someone normal. They can go around, sit with everyone, relax, sit and eat with everyone. That's much more joyful than everyone giving you the glory, telling you the God. He is, at the same time, he likes to enjoy more and associate more with his devotees. That's his higher pleasure. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. That's why Krishna comes to this world. Why Krishna comes to this world? Because he wants to associate with his devotee. He wants to perform his lila with his devotees. That is the inner reason for his appearance. Killing the demon and re-establishing the dharma, that is lost. But apart from all of that, his main purpose of coming here, appearance, is to associate with his devotees and perform lila with his devotees. To give his blessing, to give his mercy to his devotees. So even though he has all of these things, but he is very detached from all the material creation. This whole material creation, so universe and so big, this Jambudvip, the heavenly planet. But he is detached from all of that. That's the point. Krishna has a beautiful form. We are decorating Krishna with jewelry and headpieces and turbans and beautiful garland and so much jewelry, fancy dress. It's not that he needs all that to be beautiful. Put a lot of makeup and earrings and kumkum, dots. He is already very beautiful. He is in the forest in Vrindavan, playing the flute and wearing forest garland and flowers and leaves. He's supremely beautiful. He doesn't need anyone, any of those things that we put on him. But the whole idea is not that he needs that. He is giving us a chance to serve him. That's why he comes here. He's giving us, those devotees living here, he's giving us a chance to play with him, to serve him. Because we are not in this prison, we're down here. So he comes down in the form of a deity to give us a chance to serve him, worship him, cook for him, dress him. It's not that he needs all that to eat and wear dress, all those beautiful dresses on him. He's Satchitananda, full of bliss, eternity and knowledge. He is the most beautiful. Bhagavan, the source of everything. He is the most strong. He doesn't have to do exercise to be strong. Isn't it? He doesn't have to do meditation to relax, calm his mind, and to be healthy. So he needs to be slim. We are offering him so many offerings a day, but he remains same. He doesn't put on weight. He's not worried about putting on weight because he looks. He's the most beautiful. But he puts on the weight of devotion, bhakti that he's enjoying from the devotee's offering. They're giving that weight, chubbiness. That type of weight. But he's not checking his weight every day. He gets up and checks, oh, I put on the weight, I eat too much. The devotee's cooking with ghee. And maybe I should eat mustard oil instead. And it's more healthy. And don't cook with ghee. You know, cook with coconut oil. He's not worried about. So he's spiritual health. He's the supreme enjoyer. Satchitananda Vigraha. He has a form that's eternal. We are changing. Our body is changing constantly. Every day we are changing from childhood to now. Our hair is growing gray. Right? Your hair is grow. There's no black hair anymore. One day teeth fall out. Jagannath Prabhu in the ashram, he can't eat any solid food because his teeth fallen out. His one teeth at the back. He's trying to eat from one side. So these things prove that we're not enjoying. So Krishna has, why he has it mentioned here, Satchitananda Vigraha. He has eternal form. He doesn't get old. He is Navayovanam, eternally youthful. He is never grown any older than a 16-year-old age, 16 years of age. Even though he's eternal, millions of years old, he's going to always look like as 16 years of age. That's called Navayovanam, eternally youthful. Here, Sri Krishna, he is going gray. You see the photo of Krishna pulling the chariot, Arjuna, battlefield of Kurukshetra. He was 125 years of age. And he looked like a young boy. Because we have a material body, he has a spiritual body. But he is very detached. He comes down here from the spiritual world where there is so much enjoyment and he just eats simple things. He was living in the palace of Dwarka and one of his devotees came to see him and he had much to bring for him. He bought flat rice. In India, flat rice means poor people eat. It's very cheap. So he had much to bring for him. Because when you see your friend, when you go to see somebody, he brings something. He bought flat rice. And when he saw the opulent Krishna living in the palace, he was very embarrassed to give him the flat rice. So he was putting his under his armpit and covering it. And Krishna snatched it up and ate it. So he's attracted by devotee's love for him. It's not that we can offer him highest quality of food. He is not in need of eating that. Because he's the creator of that. He's the creator of all the food. He's the creator of the earth where grains are grown. He's the creator of the cow where the milk comes. That's so amazing. Cow eats the grass and you get milk from it. What do we create? We eat all this food and we create something else. But cows eat grass and they produce milk. And Krishna created the cow. We created airplane. And then there's accident. Krishna created mosquitoes, there's never an accident. They're buzzing around, there's never an accident. You see? So what we make, is ending destruction. What Krishna makes is always healthy. Good for us. So ultimately we have to see Krishna is the creator of everything that is always beneficial for us and healthy for us. Of course, we should not eat too much or eat too little, be moderation. Krishna doesn't have to worry about that because he is enjoying. As we get older, our bodies start to fall apart. We can't take much anymore. We can't move so much, we can't run anymore. Our hair start to turn completely turn gray, and the teeth start to fall down, fall apart, and we get old. Our skin all start to hang down. We don't have any more smooth body. But as we get older, we can now become more wise and realize Krishna created that. So at least towards the end of our life, we now realize that body is temporary and is falling apart. Now we can serve Krishna. Now we can sit down, meditate on Krishna, chant his name, study the scriptures. We're not running around anymore. So Komara Achare Pragya Dharvan Bhagavata Niha. Vlad Maharaj, he said, start practicing bhakti yoga, devotion to Krishna from early age. Because we do not know how long we have. He said, no, when I'm 50. No, then I'll take religion. Start from early age. Because human life, our energy is meant for serving Him. It's for His glory. We are misusing. What do we use our energy for? Drink alcohol, illicit sex, meat eating. These things take our energy away. Every time you drink alcohol, your brain gets damaged. That's why you can't think properly. You drink milk, drink good food, it creates the body's natural energy. It gives the energy. So that's why we have to always know that Krishna's glory, Krishna, he is so glorious, he's so merciful in every way. He is full of transcendental character and qualities. And we can turn our attention, we can give all our energy, all our life's savings, all our life's mission and work is to die, is to give to Krishna. That is the purpose of human life. There's no other purpose. The other purpose is, we only have two things. We can choose to serve God, Krishna, or we can serve Maya. And Krishna says, Maya is also his energy. He says, you're serving me indirectly. It's not that you serve, you're outside of Krishna. Everything is in Krishna. Just like the prison house. That also belongs to the country. It's within the country. It belongs. But if we choose to be in the prison, then a free man. So everything is Krishna's. So we can be in the light of Krishna, we can be in the front of Krishna, we can be directly serving Krishna, be with Him, associate with devotees, be blissful, or we can be miserable in Maya. We can choose to do what we want to do. The choice is ours. Krishna is not forcing us. He's given us a choice to serve Him. So we always look away from Krishna. We look away from Krishna because we want to do things independently from Krishna. For ourselves, not for Krishna. We think we can look away from Krishna. When we're looking at Krishna's energy, not the Krishna's energy, the other side. All the direction is Krishna's. Wherever there is, Krishna is everywhere. He's in our heart. He's in every atom. So that's why Krishna is so merciful. He appeared here in the temple, in the deity form. Why? Because He is giving a chance for us to pray to Him, to serve Him. Even though He's everywhere. We're not able to see Him everywhere. So this is Akshata Graha. So Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan. He's there. That place is there where He appeared. It's still there. If we go to Vrindavan, so many wonderful places where Lord appeared in India that we could visit, this place still exists. Some people say, oh no, it's just a mythology. No, this place is there. Millions and millions of people are going there worshipping. Krishna. That the history is there. Krishna appeared there. There is one of the temple has a stone that Krishna placed his feet on it. It measures the size of his feet, and there are different signs on his feet. That's all stuck on the imprinted on the rock, and they have that in the temple. Krishna's flute. So all the places that Krishna held his pastime, that place still exists today in India. So Krishna, he appeared in the form of the deity because he appeared here in Melbourne. He's there. It's not that it's only in India. Jagannath he appeared in India originally, but he is here too today. It's by the mercy of his devotee that the deity have appeared here in Melbourne Temple and in the US and Europe, all the world. So the Lord has appeared because He appeared in this form of the deity form. And He's accepting our services if He's offering love and devotion. Bhaktama Vijanati. Krishna says, if one offers me love and devotion, I accept it. And He eats it. That's why we enjoy the prasad, because we can feel the taste in it, because Krishna has tasted it. He has looked at it. He examined the food and he ate what he wants to. Oh, this is good. And he put the well. By his glancing over the food, it's as good as eating. Krishna, he says in the Brahma Samhita, he can eat with his eyes by glancing over the food. He doesn't have to grossly eat it and chew the food. Of course, he does that when he's relishing it because it's cooked by devotees. But the point is, he is the supreme enjoyer. So God appeared 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan. That place exists today, even today in India. You can go there and you can sit there, Govardhan Hill that he lifted to protect his glory, to take shelter under the hill. That hill is still there. All places the Lord performed his pastime, those places still exist today that you can go and visit. How can you say God is mythology? So Krishna, he is, even though he is in that place in Vrindavan, he is performing his pastime, but he is very detached from all of that. He is totally unattached, like it's mentioned here. He is never hungry, thirsty, or fatigued. Na hanyate dehi deha gato ji gato pi dalai kaya. But the devotees are offering him wonderful food stuff. But it's not that he is hungry. It's not that he is thirsty. We are offering him juices and fruits, milkshakes, milk products. Krishna likes milk sweets. You go to Vrindavan, everywhere there is milk dukan, shops over there serving rapri, all kinds of milk sweets, because Krishna likes milk sweets. Like here, Western people, they like cakes. They have cake shop, all kinds of cakes and cookies, because Western people like. So Krishna likes milk sweets. So where he appeared, that's his home. Vrindavan is his home. Vrindavan is his home. So that place still today, after 5,000 years, so many sweet shops, because Krishna's favorite thing is sweets, milk sweets, rabri, rasamalai, rasagulla, sweet rice, burfi, halwa, puri. You go to Vrindavan, they have some, and you go to Jagannath Puri, Malpura, Jagannath's favorite food. And he says here he's hungry, he's not hungry. But they have all this food. And he is not thirsty. You go to Jagannath Puri, they have special lassi that you can't get anywhere else in India. So every place has a uniqueness, because the Lord has performed pastime at that time when He appeared. They still have those things continuing to serve Him with those paraphernalia and those foodstuffs. So how can one say it's mythology? Every place has a history. Like Australia, we're living in Australia. It has history. The Europeans came here, and then they build this country. Some history. Not that it's just lying here. There is a system. And we have this temple because many, many years ago Prabhupada came here and opened this temple. We bought this property. Now we have been here. We installed a deity here. So there's a history. Not that it's boom house accidentally. So similarly, Krishna, he has a Satchidananda Vigraha. He has a form like us. But his form is Satchidananda, eternal form. And he's accepting the services. Even though he's not in need, but he's engaging us in his service. He's allowing us to serve him out of his causeless mercy. He appears, 5,000 years ago he appeared, Janmasthami, in a few days. He appears here to perform his lila, his pastime with his devotees, giving us an opportunity to serve him. So he lifted the Govardhan here, he killed the demon. So we, the living entities that are attracted to Maya, we have become attracted to Krishna, of his wonderful pastimes, because it's so beautiful. When he lifts the hill, we think, wow, we are attracted to Olympic, some people who are very strong, so we can attract to Krishna. You know, we swim across a little, so many times. You have to practice so many years to be Olympic swimmer, or throw that thing. Krishna is Balaram, most strong. Like I was saying, you didn't have to do exercise to be strong. By his mercy, we're able to breathe. We hold the breath in yoga. You know, 1 minute, maybe 2 minutes. That's all. The Krishna, he created the air. Bhumi rapo nara vayu kamana buddhi racha. Krishna says, 8 times the energy our body is made out of. Earth, water, fire, air, mind, intelligence, false ego. The elements, these elements, created by Krishna. He is the owner of our body. We're not the enjoyer of the body. He created it. We are meant to maintain it, to serve him. We maintain the body, exercise it, sleep it, dress it, shower it, put food in it. So we can remain healthy, so we can serve Krishna. That's the idea. We cannot enjoy this body. We try to enjoy this body. We're not the enjoyer at all. We eat too much, then you're sick. If you drink too much alcohol, then your brain goes dull. You can't think. Next day you have a headache, hangover. Everything. So we are meant to take care of what Krishna has given to us. It says here, he's the creator of everything. All the property, he's the creator. Everything that we have is his property. Yeah. Since everything is Krishna's property, he sees everything and is present everywhere. Because his body is transcendental. So our vision, our understanding should be that everything is Krishna's property. We should never misuse anything. We may be the owner of everything. We may be millionaire, but the Krishna didn't give us one breath of air. We are finished. You can have everything material, but Krishna is the source of all the essential energies in our body. That because of that our body is functioning. You can't eat money. You can't eat material wealth. But we rely on Krishna's energy. Like air, earth, air. Bhumi, rapa, our body is functioning because we rely on the air that's in our body that makes the body move. And the water that we have to drink, thirsty, food, grains. Anad bhavanti bhutani. Krishna said, I'm the creator of the grains. From me comes grains. He created the earth. And from the earth, rain. Rain comes, and from the rain, the earth is fertile, and the grain grows. And we eat the grain. What do we create? Motor car. And it's only create pollution. Some places, in like China, I live in China, some place in India, you can't breathe the air, it's so polluted. Pollution. Delhi, you breathe, do meditation, yoga, you die. You breathe in that air. That's why they all go to do yoga in the mountains. Clean place. Huh? It's not God's fault. We start off this world. So Krishna has given us all these things for His service. When we try to enjoy, we create pollution. Before they had a horse cart. The horse passed the dung, you can easily clean. And it could create manure for the earth. And they got rid of that, they got motor car. How do you clean the air? Pollution. Only the rain. So we should be happy what God's given us. All the natural properties. But when we try to outdo God, think we are better than God, we want to enjoy, then we create all these things, but there's side effects. There's problems. We have all these airplanes, missiles, and militaries. But all that money we can use to build a nice temple for Krishna. People can come and pray to Krishna. Simple. Life is very simple. We created this complicatedness in the world. Life is really simple. We don't have to have a car, we don't have to have airplanes. Because people are agreed, they want to go and bring the food from other country. Import, export. Ships to bring stuff here and bring it back. You go to the supermarket, you can get mangoes that are not in the season because they have frozen. Before they eat naturally, in seasonal food, it's healthy. So excessive greed, excessive desire for profit, excessiveness. But how much can we actually take? How much can our body take? So Krishna is the enjoyer, we're not the enjoyer. Our pleasure, a devotee's pleasure is serving Krishna. It's so much more pleasure. So the idea is that even though Krishna is the supreme, but He is most loving. Because Krishna, He likes to associate with His devotees. Like I said before, He has palaces, He lives in palaces in Dwarka. He left all behind. He destroyed all that before He left. And He was living in Vrindavan. Simple life. With no shoes, He'd go to the forest. There's Gopashtami. They said, you wear shoes to go to the forest. Your feet too soft. And Krishna had 900,000 cows. He said, if you want me to go to the forest, with shoes, then you have to make shoes for all the cows also. And in only a few days, 900,000 shoes for cows, impossible. So Krishna was so caring for everybody, for His devotees and for the animals. We are killing the cows. Krishna is protecting His favorite animals. Like here in Australia, other countries, the favorite animal is cat and dog. Krishna's favorite animal is cows. Most loving. Krishna is most loving. We are enjoying eating fruit. Krishna is watching. It says here. He's aloof. He's the only witness. And sometimes we think, oh no, we are offering so much food here. He's such an enjoyer, making us work so hard. It's not like that. How do we know He's actually eating it? Our mind is not in the cooking. We're thinking, oh, I'm the cook. I'm this, I'm that. He may not accept it, even though He chants the mantra. He accepts our love. He says that, Bhagavad Gita. One who offers food, patram pushram phalam toyam. Even there, there is no paniyasabji. Just fruit and water, Krishna says. If you love, offer to me love and devotion, I accept it. So we offer big fancy kind of food. Chant a few mantras, it doesn't mean He has to accept it. He accepts our love. It can be a very simple thing. So when we have so much, we offer to Him, but we have to remember, He accepts if you cook with feelings of devotion, affection. It's mentioning affection. You're caring. Just like with the king, the awful king, he has already everything. He doesn't care. But sometimes the king likes to go to a simple home, like somebody's house, simple place. Have something, sit in a simple, on the floor, have a glass of water. Then they're tired of having kingdom all the time. So Krishna, He is God. He doesn't he appears to be the son of his devotee. Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, playing with the child. He doesn't want people to call him God. He wants his mother to say, "Oh, my dear son." Motherly affection. He wants everyone to call him, "Hey," and play with the boys and girls, small kids, like ordinary people. He's tired of everyone calling him God. But not that he's not God, it's because he knows everything as a child also. So Janmashtami means he Janma Karma Chavayam. His activities are transcendental. He's acting like a human being. Like a king may go to the prison. Doesn't mean he becomes a prisoner. He is still a king. So Krishna comes here. So Mogapsamagavarmano, foolish person thinks he's become one of us. But Krishna is always Krishna, the supreme, the enjoyer. But out of love for his devotee, he takes the birth, he appears here as the son of Mother Yashoda. Because Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, Devaki, Vasudev, they perform austerity to have God as their son. They want that relation with God. There's five Katharasas, you all know that. As a paternal relation, as a friendship, Sakya, Nitro, what else is?
The lover.
Yeah. Five types. So Krishna, he comes as a child of his devotee. So he says, "Oh, my son." It's a good feeling when parents call us. So Krishna also has that. Because, so you can see how God is so receiving and he's so reciprocating with his devotees. Because we pray to him, "Please, I want to be, I want to serve you. I want to see you as my son. I want to serve you as my son." With love. So he becomes. They did austerity, Devaki, Vasudev, in the past life. And then the God appears. So whatever you want from Krishna, he will, but we have to understand in relation to him, not separately from him. Whatever we do, we have to do that in connection to Krishna. And Krishna will fulfill that. He can give us $1 million if we are going to use that in service. He can. He can give us this whole, you see, Prabhupada. Prabhupada went to America with 40 rupees. What's 40 rupees? Nowadays, nothing. That time maybe 5-6 bucks. You know, one drink is $5. And Prabhupada bought it back, he didn't even use it. And look at now, we have big temples all over the world. If you want to sell this place, maybe millions of dollars. 10 million maybe, this whole temple property.
25.
And we have temples in all the big cities, New York, Paris, London, Sydney, big temples, buildings. How Prabhupada is so rich? He went 40 rupees and he look at it now. So we say, what we say is true. Krishna can give us, and he did give to Prabhupada. So that's why I said, if we are going to use what Krishna gave us, he will give us. But because we feel not pure, we want to think, "Oh, I don't need Krishna anymore. I have all this, I will enjoy." So he didn't give us. But he did give us the body to serve him. If we are in a wheelchair, even if you're a millionaire, you can enjoy your life. So he's given us everything that we can use our body to serve him. So he's all merciful. But he is always making sure his devotees are happy. You see the whole world suffering, so much depression right now. And the people living in the temple here, they're having a good time. Food, and we never think of outside world. It's all coronavirus, all so many cases, they're laughing at it. We didn't bother us because, so we're not affected by the miseries of this world because we observe the service of Krishna. But we are compassionate. We want the world to become a better place so they can serve Krishna, so they can be happy. We want people to come to temple. The temple can be open. So that is our concern. Our real concern is that for the people's well-being, let them be healthy so they can live a good life, then they can turn to Krishna, they can come here. Ultimately, we have to always understand the underlying principle of human form. So these things are happening so people can wake up. This is not the place for us to live here forever. This miserable, life is miserable. This is the reason for all these things happening. So you have to wake up. People are not waking up. Like, they're ignorant, totally ignorant. So the suffering is there. So they need to wake up. Okay, this place is it's a place of misery. There's a better place. Krishna said, Bhagavad Gita, Aparaya Matastanyam. He said, there's another world, superior nature to this world. That's where we belong, eternally. Where there is no sun and moon, electricity. Spiritual world, he's talking. Aparaya Matastanyam, another world. And he said, that world is where you belong. We turned away, we came here. This place is full of misery. Material world, Krishna says, Abrahma Bhupana Loka, down from higher planet, Tatya Loka, Brahma Loka, down to the lowest. All are places of misery, full of suffering. So that's why Krishna, he comes here to attract us, ignorant living entities, to turn to him by his wonderful pastimes. He lifts the Govardhan and thinks, wow, this person is God. He kills the demon of the student. He killed, there's no problem. Just, you know. So he's God. So he does this lila as times to attract all the people of this world to come to him by his wonderful pastimes. Super excellent pastimes as transcendental activities. Janma karma tame divyam. All his activities is known as lila. Divyam, transcendental, eternal. Why he could just be living in the spiritual world, playing with his flute, and not come down here. Why he comes here? Because he wants us to come back to him. He has mercy on us. Because we are part of him. We belong there. He's coming again and again to bring us back. That's the whole idea. So it says here, Nadrik jasya gunai vidushyate. Therefore, although he is the witness and seer, he is aloof from all affection for the activities he sees. He is always unattached and separate. He is only a witness. So this is all such a wonderful purport by Prabhupada. If you can read it nicely, you can understand it. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes. Can you have the microphone? Can you take this one? Dwarka is a very complex city that Krishna built 5,000 years ago. And before Krishna left this land, he wound up everything. He destroyed everything. He didn't want to keep everything here. So still, there are some remnants. There is some excavation under the city. They found a lot of stuff, like artifacts that were from that time, like container, like that they used to use 5,000 years ago. Very, they didn't use any of those things, like bell or even in Sri Lanka, Krishna came as Lord Ram about 10,000 years ago before Krishna and before that. And there's a story of Ramayana. And they found there's a great devotee of Lord Ram, he's named Hanuman. He's like a transcendental monkey, he can fly, very strong. Krishna's Lord Ram's associate. And he used to fight in the cloud. Just recently, they found this huge cloud. It's made out of gold. And no human being can lift it up, they have to use a crane. Yeah. So that's left from that time. So that's just one thing. And there are deities of Krishna in India where he walked from Dwarka. That's in Gujarat. There's pastimes. This deity is still there for 5,000 years ago. He walked. And there's just few examples. And so many places in India, it goes back thousands of years. Not just recently. More than 5,000 years. So, they found a few things in the sea from Krishna's time. But, like I said, he destroyed everything. He didn't want to keep anything from that time. They still found a few things. But they have deity of Krishna, that he appeared. It's called self-manifested deity. They still have those deities some places in India, many places. That from there's a deity of his standing like this, Vital, and then there's Ramchandra deity. There's many, many deities. So India is full of like mystical places. So that's why we go to, in India, there are different places where Lord had his pastimes. And though from that time, even today, you can have those things that are prominent in that area. Because Krishna used to have those things, like Vrindavan, and Krishna used to have cows and so many milk products. That's why it's from that time, so it's handed down. So that's why it's a proof that Krishna was there. And the place where he lived, the hill, that hill is there, still there, huge. And people devoted go around, like with respect, to get the blessing. And all the pastimes Krishna performed, 5,000 years ago Vrindavan, they're still there. We have a big temple there. So, when people say what they want to say, because they're happy what they say, but it doesn't mean that. We have to accept the truth in the books. Like, if you're driving, you can't just drive here and there. If you don't know, you look at the GPS. They tell you, oh, this way, well. So, we have information from the books. We have information from the book. If you're lost, you take the GPS. So similarly, Guru is Shastra and Shastra, scripture. The Guru, the teacher, they have information. So it's not that it's all mentality. It's all there, if we want to know. If you want to be an atheist, you can. Mogatsa, moga karma, no. Krishna says, because people want to be ignorant, so he fools them. He acts like a human being to satisfy everybody.
So kind of endless.
Exactly.
Let them be ignorant of him.
Yeah. If they want that, okay, fine. They can be ignorant if they want. But it's not that you can't say, I just because I can see. Seeing is believing. I didn't see many things. It doesn't mean that they exist. I can't see behind the wall when on the dead street. But I can't see it. But it's there. When you go to the ocean, there, down the road, you can see on the side of the sea, but there is New Zealand, and then there is Tasmania. So information is there in the book. So it's not based on seeing, it's based on knowledge. Krishna spoke, so I didn't believe he's not there. I can't think of who knows. If you don't want to know, then fine. But doesn't mean it's based on your belief. It's not a belief. Prabhupada said it's a science. He's teaching the science. Okay. Thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you. What is the reason Krishna destroyed
that? Any reason? So it's here. The answer is here.
That's okay.
What is the reason for Krishna destroying the Dwarka before he left? He says here, he is not afflicted with, oh, it's right here. He is aloof from all affection for the activities he sees. He is always unattached and separate. He is only a witness. So, I reckon few things, because we don't appreciate Krishna's things in Kali Yuga. They use these things. Maybe they use the temple to create a museum, put all the things from the British time. We will not respect it like it's Krishna's. And not only that, there's so much there. You know, so much, Dharpa was so big, we will not be able to handle it. So there's some good things. But he destroyed it because he didn't want the people of Kali Yuga to embrace that. He wants to take everything. He says it's like a drama. When you do a drama, you put on a show and then you package it. And then and you go. Then the next place is the drama. So it's a road show. But Krishna is doing pastime from one planet to the other. And it's finished, he destroyed everything, take it, pack up. I mean, there are many reasons. That's the main reason. So, Krishna is very detached. He's the creator of this universe. He's not that he has to bring all the people and have the construction work. His Maya, his material energy, he can do it all instantly. He gives him the design work, and you open your eyes, it's all there. That powerful he is. He has this Vishakarma, the demigod in heaven. He designed, we all know him, we worship the demigod. He can create everything just instantly. Give him the plan, and he will have it in front of you, just in no time. That's his energy. That's the difference between us and him. He doesn't grossly work. He can create everything. The universe is coming from his body. This universe is. And it's mentioned, he glances over and the universe is filled up with the people and all the entities. Just glancing. So he can also singularly take away everything if he wants to. He can create at the same time. There is solution. End of this, all this world will be dissolution. It will be all finished. Goes back to the body of Mahavishnu. So, taking Dwarka away, it's his wish, he wants to. So that's all his pastimes. That's Leela. He creates, he destroys. So that's up to him. But there is a reason for everything. Because we will not respect it. You know, he performs all his pastimes, he's still with him. Does God make this? He's all there, he's really asking this. What nonsense. You know. So, if all these things were there, you know, because this is very extraordinary, we cannot keep it in this age. Because Satya Yuga, the other day was Balaram appeared. Lord Balaram, his wife's name is what?
Lana?
Balaram's wife, consort. Revati. Revati. Balaram's father, Revati's father's name is Raivata. He was a king. And this was, she is from Satya Yuga. Satya Treta Dapar Kali. So, Satya Yuga, people here, they can interact with the demigod. The demigod is to come down. Suppose they open this temple, Satya Yuga. Brahma will come for the installation. But now, you know, we have to get the meat eater to come down here, the government. That time Brahma. But that was that age. So, Ayurveda, he could not find suitable boy for Revati in Satya Yuga. So they went to Brahma to get help from him, because Brahma is the creator. Brahma said, the time you were here, already millions of years gone by. When you go back down, nobody will know you. So he said, when you go back down, it will be Dapa Yuga. Already, Satya Yuga is gone, Teta Yuga is gone, it will be Dapa Yuga, another age. So there will be a person named Balaram. You can ask him to marry your daughter. So Balaram married Revati. However, she is actually from Satya Yuga. And she was very, very tall. Because people from that time were very tall. So Balaram took the plow on her head and Shankar to his size. Because Dapa Yuga is 5,000 years old, the end of Dapa Yuga. So, you know, these are all very wonderful pastimes. So Krishna, he takes all these things away as his wish. He can create, he can take it. But he left something for us. Hare Krishna. Subhra Bhagavad Gita.